interest in saving for more fees are taken. And every day the gatekeepers are trying to stop change. We cannot wait. Welcome to the blockchain.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Henry Rain Show here on WWPR 1490 AM. Heard every Saturday, 12.05 p.m. to 1.30 p.m. Live streaming now, and if you're trying to listen to us on the radio, you're not hearing anything at all. But we want to thank the people that are tuning in. We'll, if anything of importance, including our guests, we will find a way to broadcast this to you at another time in the next week or two to come. And, again, the transmitter is being worked on right now at WWPR, and we hope to be up any moment now. But until then, just keep on the live stream. We're also streaming on Facebook, and if you want to check us out on that, we'd greatly like that also. Well, it's another weekly roundup of Bitcoin, cryptocurrency, and the blockchain news. And besides that, it's another week and another mini crisis. This time a $500 million mini-crisis, just a little one, as the Japanese exchange is hacked and that much crypto is lost. Plus, Bitcoin advocates converge on Miami, and half the Henry Rain's crew was down there, and at least half of the half is here today. We'll give you our thoughts about it. Meanwhile, Bitcoin bashers converged on Davos for the World Economic Forum. And we have a clip from that, and we'll give you our thoughts about that, too. And then if we have enough time, we will rapper 50 Cent just happened to find $7 million of Bitcoin he had lying around that he forgot about. Coming up at the halfway point of our show, we'll be speaking with CPA Lexi Kooten. And he is a specialist in cryptocurrencies right up in Tampa, so you'll want to listen to that because a lot of you need to be paying attention to that. But let's see who is here today. Well, just to make a point, the contrarian came to the studio last week while we were all down in Miami just to express that contrariness of his. And that is, of course, Augie. Good afternoon, Augie. Glad we're all together today.
Good afternoon, Henry. And, plug it in, see if the electricity works and their Bitcoin's going to be put out or not put out.
Yes, well, we'll talk about that and more, too. And we've also in the studio. Goldbug. Good afternoon, Goldbug.
Good afternoon, Henry. Glad I could be here.
And I want to just say that I understand that you've been expecting a long time, but you now have a new bundle of joy, and that, of course, is the brand new website. Tell us about that.
Yeah, well, we just released Seeking Cryptos. It's still in, you know, we're still in beta phase here, but you know, we look to be up and running by the end of the week in full strength. And my buddy and partner, Mark P. Markets.
Who will be here next week's show.
That's great. And him and I have joined alliances, and we are going to bring some good trading stuff for people that are traders and investors.
All right. We'll find out more about that probably later in the show and in the weeks to come. And as I give the next person a chance to relocate that microphone where it's going to be able to be heard better, we will speak to them. Of course, that has to be Alex Solis, Solis Digital Assets. And he didn't make it to Miami, but he's here. He didn't come to the studio. He was the anti-contrarian last weekend. He stayed home. So, Alex, how are you this afternoon?
I'm doing great. How's everybody doing?
Very well, thank you. So, we have a lot going on today. We will get to that tax expert a little bit later. But let me just ask Alex real quickly here, not to give any tax advice because that's not what you do, but have you had many of your clients start to speak to you about, you know, what am I doing about this for the tax year?
Yeah, I fully direct them to a tax expert. I tell them I can't really give them any advice on that. But a lot of people are really worried about it. A lot of people.
And I saw one. I know there's going to be a contrarian thought about this. I saw one news article where they had surveyed crypto holders, and over a third, Andy, just decided, we're not going to bother.
It's amazing. I saw something that was like they had only 800 and some people report cryptos last year to the IRS, and that's kind of amazing.
So they were all hodling.
They were all hodling, yeah.
Nobody
long-term
traded
holders.
Any Bitcoin last year. Just 800 or 900 people out of, you know, whatever.
A few million.
1% of the population. So let's get the contrarian's point of view on this. And, Augie, what do you tell people about taxes?
Well, it's called flipping. And if you can flip real estate, that's fine. But can you flip a coin that's electrically charged and with enough data to mean anything other than Ethereum and Bitcoin itself? I'm not sure you can. Besides that, the IRS isn't going to sit by idly while you don't pay your taxes on flipping. And that is like-kind exchanges. This is not a small issue.
Well, and we'll be speaking with CPA Alexi Kooten later in the show about that. Right around 12:50, I think, is when we'll get to that, or for those of you that listen online, about the halfway point of the show.
I tell you, I've got news for you.
Well, the North American Bitcoin Conference that took place in Miami last week gathered around 4,000 people. If you ask the promoters, they're going to tell you 4,500 people, including entrepreneurs, investors, lawyers, and leaders who came together to speak to the crypto community. The conference has come a long way from 100 attendees in 2012. Its founder, Dr. Mo Levin, hosted this year's event and informed the crypto community of current developments, investment opportunities, et cetera. Inside the James L. Knight Convention Center, industry speakers such as Overstock CEO Patrick Byrne, American Institute of Economic Research's Jeffrey Tucker, Charlie Trim, who actually is a local resident, and is, you see his name on all kinds of stuff, and supposedly will be a future guest on this show. So we'll go about blockchain, digital assets, et cetera. And, well, of the normal crew that's here, Sabine Priestley was down there. Lee Hansen and Lennart Lopen of Byte Federal, the ATM companies, were both down there. One of the people that we always look for his comments about Andy on the Facebook live stream, Phil, was down there. And, of course, Andy and I were down there. So let's go with what were you expecting versus what you saw?
Well, the first thing I was expecting is the Lambos would actually be owned and not leased. I was kind of surprised by that. I mean, CNBC ran an article that most of those Lambos were rented.
That is what I heard also. So, but tell the people that weren't there. So you the James Knight Center, boy, that is stuck right dead center in the middle of downtown, and the traffic around there, very narrow roads.
Yeah, it was horrendous getting in and out. I mean, definitely Uber was the way to go.
So you finally get somewhere close to the Knight Center, and then you get to the corner of the sidewalk, and you sort of round up the driveway to the hotel/convention center, and that's where you saw the Lambos. What did you see there?
They were just Lambos lined up for the whole thing. I guess they didn't allow them to park in the parking garage. They wanted it to be a real big presence, and it was quite astonishing until I read the CNBC report.
Yes, there was a lot of people there. A lot trying to put on their best look for the people. A lot of people with newly found money.
Yep, absolutely.
Or newly earned money. Maybe I should be a little more generous with that. And a lot of people looking for that newly earned money.
Yeah, they went from, I think back in the day, Augie and I would call them gold diggers, but now we call them mining rigs.
In high heels, right?
Well, that's just one component of the people seeking cryptos, if I can borrow a phrase.
That's right.
there was a lot of women there, both executives and people that looked like they had a different intention there.
Yeah, we shouldn't peg them all like that. I mean, there was a lot of very interesting, smart women there that were that were in tune with what's going on and had a lot of insight to provide.
Well, and the women weren't the only ones seeking crypto. There was an endless stream of ICO pitches. By the way, we have the meetup coming up this afternoon, if you're listening right now live. That's at 3:30 at Mocha Joe's. It's our third Bradenton Bitcoin and cryptocurrency meetup. And I've got some video clips that I've pulled that we'll show at the meetup there, depending on how it plays out there and what people want to do. But the exhibition hall, which is in one of the clips, sits underneath the entire Knight Center. The Knight Center, what does that hold? Maybe 3,000 people or so?
Yeah, I would say a good 3,000, 4,000.
It's side trivia. I actually was the ring announcer for the very first mixed martial arts match ever held in North America, years before the Ultimate Fighting Championship ever debuted. But that's another story for another day.
And we need to hear about that.
But it was full house back then, too. And so there was just row after row of these booths. So everybody had the latest, greatest thing since the last latest, greatest thing. And besides a few of the interesting presentations there, it was one ICO, initial coin offering pitch, after another. They were blocked out every 15 minutes. So by the time, if you sat in that convention center 8 hours, you were going to just be mind-numbed from 30 to 35 ICO pitches. Anything that caught your eye?
Yeah, it was very interesting, the gambling one. I don't know if you saw the gambling coin where the CEO comes up and says, we're going to try to be as legal as we can.
That's good.
I mean, at least they're making an attempt.
Yes.
But no, I mean, I tell you what, it was very interesting to hear some of the pitches. Some of them were great. I mean, some great ideas in that. Do they form into a workable, profitable product that has value for the coin holders? That's yet to be seen. But I was very impressed with the
Goldex.
I'm sorry.
I was trying to read your mind.
With the Rolexes?
Goldex.
Oh, Goldex. I was very impressed with Goldex's pitch, and I like what they're doing for the community. And Augie would, right along his lines, being able to offer gold to people that do not have access to those markets.
Banking for the unbank.
Well said.
Thank you, Augie. Alex, since you're going to have a coin of the week in a little while, and you look at these initial coin offerings, what do you look for in these? Because I think I can anticipate. I'm going to try and read your mind too, and I'm betting that. Legally, that a lot of what you look for was not in the ICO pitches that I was listening to. You go first.
Well, the first thing I look for is the team. I want to see what's their background, and then what's their intentions with the coin, and how many people are actually doing this. One thing about an ICO, there's probably like one idea, and then there's like 100 people doing it. So I try to stay away from them.
What about the gambling coin? I've seen a couple of those already.
Yeah, the one thing, cryptocurrency is huge in gambling. It's already here. I have so many clients that gamble, make tons of money. They make bitcoins a day. They obviously spend it back because that's what happens. But gambling is very
dramatic. Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
And it's real. They do it on the European websites.
Okay. And do you have a gambling coin that you think is more advanced or has a bigger market share?
Yeah, I'm a big holder in Wager. Wager does UFC fights. They actually held a big betting on the Mayweather and McGregor fight. So Wager's my favorite. They're not really legal in America, but that doesn't matter because they're legal in the rest of the world.
What do you think about the unicorn? Is it unicorn? I think it is. With that, the actual platform is backed by Mark Cuban and Ashton or Kurt, whatever his name. Ashton Kurt. Yeah. What do you think about that one?
Yeah, I love that one. The only thing that scares me is that every ICO backed by a celebrity has failed. Every cryptocurrency. But the video games betting, that is amazing. Yeah. I want to do it myself.
Yeah, I think they're targeting EA Sports directly.
Yeah, that is an amazing idea. One of the best.
I do think one of the best interviews or one of the best pitches actually didn't come from an ICO or a crypto. One of the existing platforms, but came from Patrick Byrd from Overstock.com. I thought his speech was just phenomenal. I mean, it was phenomenal and definitely capturing.
And what was the point that captured you?
Just the technology and where it's leading and, how he's integrated it into Overstock.com, which has made the price go up of the stock tremendously.
For the last couple of weeks.
I
was pretty successful in calling the top of that when I got into
That's great, because I definitely was ready to buy. And then it's like, when you feel that urge to buy, you just kind of sit back.
Well, we can go on about that at another time, because I have a lot of thoughts about that and some of the other stock plays about this. let's go. Oh, one more thing before I go to the clip from the conference. The Goldex, the HelloGold.org and .com is where it is. So this actually, talking about a coin that does something.
Oh.
When you buy this coin, and talking about the team for Alex, Robin Lee, who is on last week's podcast, if you want to go back and listen to it, of all the people we interviewed there, I would say he was the biggest heavyweight resume of all. He was the chief financial officer for the World Gold Council, and for the exchange-traded fund GLD, he was in charge of the financial accounting for that. So when he lent his name to this, it put a level of seriousness and credibility on it that I think was hard to duplicate. And
I did listen to that interview, and I thought he was not so enthusiastic about the role of Bitcoin and gold and the nice fusion in between.
Well, it'd be hard to use it effectively. Augie, could you tilt the phone for the Facebook live stream?
I'm getting a full shot here. Hey, guys. You know, in interviewing him, it was my favorite interview, and I think he was the favorite person I met down there. And it doesn't put anything aside. I'm a gold bug, and when he talked, it just really not only do I think asset based tokenization or tokenization of assets is the future of cryptocurrencies, because they allow distribution to masses that never had that opportunity. That, you know, Augie and I can. We can go on Ameritrade and buy GLD or whatever we want to buy, but a lot of people can't. And that's the target, that's the market that they're targeting, and for all the right reasons. And what really impressed me, and Augie, you're going to be impressed by this, is unlike GLD, who holds enough gold to cover who owns it, they actually hold more. So they are over, you know, allocated the gold assets so that they don't ever have that crisis on hands. And, you know, and he mentioned a few other things that I can't go on
well,
public.
Well, first of all, if someone were to buy this,
yes.
they can buy it in whatever their local fiat currency is. And then they immediately hold ownership of the equivalent amount at the current, at that moment's exchange rate of gold. And they can request delivery of the physical gold if they, for some reason, they wanted to.
Yeah, they can take delivery on it if they want, which is great, because trying to take delivery from the futures market here is nearly impossible. You can't do it, not as a rational trader.
And if
that's called anchoring, if you're going to stabilize anything, that's how you'll do it.
Absolutely, I agree.
And when you want to sell, you can go right back into your fiat currency, whatever the current exchange rate is, and they do have some kind of maintenance fee that probably isn't that much different than the exchange traded fund, I would imagine.
Probably not. I mean, it's not that expensive, but yeah, I mean, it's a great product, and it's definitely going to revolutionize digital assets going forward.
It's a real irony that gold, physical gold, becomes the anchor in the end after all of the poo-pooing about investing in gold. And relying upon currencies to hold their own dollar.
Well, it becomes a physical anchor for a segment. There's not enough to anchor the size of this economy as the blockchain economy develops over the next few years. Let's go to a clip from the conference and come back and talk about this a little bit more.
...to promote the use of the cyber currency. Soledad Perez reports.
When Bitcoin vendors organized North America's first Bitcoin conference, they say they chose Miami Beach for two reasons. The obvious one, said a participant, was it's warm. The less obvious reason is a strategic one. Miami is an airport hub for capitals across the Americas, especially Latin America. The conference aimed to make the digital currency more mainstream than it already is. Bitcoin is electronic cash, exchanged peer-to-peer, outside the world's central banking systems. And it's growing in popularity. Enterprises like CoinGig, an Amazon-style e-commerce site launched last year by Kenneth Mitral, is growing. CoinGig is like a digital mall with around 1,000 stores so far. Mitral says his site is already generating nearly $1 million a year in sales.
Right now we're doing about 100 bitcoins a month in transactions.
In dollars, how much would that be?
About $80,000 a month.
Bitcoin is an innovative cyber currency that is very easy to use, but not that easy to buy. However, that's exactly what the young entrepreneurs of this industry are trying to change. BitPay dispenses Bitcoin like an ATM.
So I'm going to put in $20. I've received that, and now it's going to send me the bitcoins. I can feed more money if I want to, but 20 is enough. So now it's going to connect to our server, it's going to broadcast the transaction, and send the bitcoins. Okay, that's done. And now if I go into my phone, right there you see the transaction. 0.0243. It was immediate.
New West Technologies developed a Bitcoin transaction platform integrated with Microsoft's retail management system. Customers pay with their digital wallets.
It's a big change. We deal a lot with regulatory industries, the banks, the financial people, and there's just a ton of rules, there's a ton of problems, there's a ton of red tape, and this is something that sort of supersedes all that.
One company here, BitPay, already has Miami rocking to the Bitcoin beat. One of the most popular bars on Ocean Drive is already accepting bitcoins.
Can I play with Bitcoin, please?
For those who considered bitcoins a pseudo-currency for scam artists and gigs, well, after this conference, they may have to think again. Nitza Soledad Perez, CCTV, Miami.
And that was courtesy of CCTV, which, or TN, I guess it's closed circuit TV network?
Yeah, I guess so.
Wave at the camera in the corner when you go by. So there were other ones. I don't want to go spend a lot of time on the ones, the ICOs that were just seeming sort of pointless, but a lot of it just had the general sense of send me Bitcoin or Ethereum. I'll give you this coin that maybe someday might be worth something, but really all I want is your money for my venture capital because I may have a great idea. And there were lots of great ideas, but I don't know why I wanted to give them money for a coin as opposed to money for equity.
Well, and I have to, agree with that because one thing when you're investing in, especially in these ICOs or these startups or these new coins that are coming out, is what are you buying? Are you buying an asset? Are you buying value in the platform itself? Are you going to get a dividend? Or are you going to make profit off the value as it increases as an appreciating asset? Or are you just crowdfunding somebody's idea, and they're going to benefit from that. And I think that's really important when you're looking at these to separate those out very quickly and axe them off your list. Now, as you're trading, you can trade those, but, I mean, as an investor, I just stay away from them.
Well, one of the last things I want to get to, but Augie had a comment. Please.
Well, this is the new stakeholder coins, are because of the energy issue, and if the energy is going to really be there to do the job, there's going to be a real problem on energy, and that's a large article in the New York Times about what's going to happen because of the energy needs. Bitcoin has it and Ethereum has it, but do the others really have it? And coming up with this guy by the name of Bitarian has come up with a stakeholder approach to getting around that.
It's proof of work versus proof of stake,
right, exactly.
And the proof of stake doesn't use the energy. But I think your refrigerator is going to mine crypto with the surplus energy that it's using as we move forward. But it's a problem, but I think it's a problem that's ultimately solvable and is being solved as we speak.
And I think technology solves its own.
So one last thing I did want to get to before we move on to a serious problem for some people, and I think Augie will jump right on the next one. But we had some conversations here about female speakers down at the North American Bitcoin Conference. And I have to admit that in my experience at healthcare conferences or financial conferences or most any other conference, comic book conventions even, you typically would have panels or speakers that were doing continuing education or trying to make people aware of the environment in the marketplace so that the industry that you were participating in was prepared and there was more of a general interest. Sure, you would get these presentations of new products coming to market and things like that, but I never imagined the continual sales pitch that you got at this, and really, there weren't speakers per se. There were just a bunch of salespeople.
It was amazing, but let me add to that the women that did speak there were more in the coming from the law aspect, and we saw we had speakers that were two women attorneys, and then I met on the sidelines, believe this or not, Henry, I met two women there that were ICO attorneys, and they were working out of New York, and they were down here, you know, at the conference, obviously, you know, networking and that. But their insight was great. So the women that were there that weren't mining rigs, were very intellectual and very into this and had a lot to offer. Whereas a lot of the ICOs and a lot of the guys that were there were just, it was, some of it was just nonsense.
Well, and there's a conference coming up in Tampa with a whole different attitude. But to wrap this up, well, there were some women featured at the North American Bitcoin Conference. This is from Dan Primack from Axios. Last Thursday night, attendees, I think, was it Thursday or Friday?
Well,
I think it was Friday.
Thursday. Well, the original one, well.
Uh-huh. Attendees of the North American Bitcoin Conference in Miami were treated to an official after party at a local nightclub called E11 Even. But as conference goers soon learned, nightclub in this context is code for high-end strip club. I'd like to say this was an ignorant oversight, I'm reading Mr. Premick's words, or that conference organizers already taking flacks for their extreme lack of female speakers, 3 out of 88, would intentionally compound the area there. But conference organizer and crypto entrepreneur Mo Levin first told me, that with Primack, via email, that there was no sexualized imagery or performers anywhere in the venue until after the official event was over at 11 p.m.
Is that when it started? I missed that party.
Well, 11, according to Mr. Primack, misrepresented the pre-11 p.m. festivities when I followed up by telling him that female attendees had told me that the hostesses in lingerie and the burlesque dancers on small stages in the corner, he replied, quote, we asked the venue multiple times to have their staff dressed professionally and were not accommodated. Sounds like they were dressed right for their profession.
I was going to say, what's professional?
Levin also acknowledged that one of the event MCs made an offensive remark about women in crypto and was fired immediately. At this point, I stopped emailing back because it's hard to concentrate when your head is shaking so much. That was Dan Primack. And that wraps up our observations about the North American Bitcoin Conference. But those photos are up on Twitter at numerous places.
I can't imagine.
And, you know, for all the talk about, you know, the precautions taken, I thought the video projection wall size of North American Bitcoin Conference and the photo I saw, I didn't go to the party, juxtaposed behind the two stripper poles and the three dancers, really bespoke to
add the Lambos to that. You got Hollywood.
Yeah, that was the Dash after party, by the way. The Dash crypto crime.
I didn't get invited to that one either. I'm mad at Ryan.
Yeah. Well, let's go to a break. We'll come back with the $500 million hack that happened in Japan just yesterday. You're listening to The Henry Rain Show. Trying to get into Bitcoin but don't know where to start? Byte Federal ATMs make it easy. Safe, secure, and reliable, a Byte Federal ATM introduces you to cryptocurrency investing with a method you're familiar with at a real physical location. If you've ever used a bank ATM, then you're ready to step up to a Byte Federal ATM and start building your digital assets. Located throughout Florida and Georgia, there's a Byte Federal ATM near you. Go to ByteFederal.com to find a location for you. That's ByteFederal.com, and you'll find a real phone number, a real email, and real people you've heard live on The Henry Rain Show.
I drink a cup of coffee and start to combing out my hair. I drink 40 cups of coffee. 40 cups of coffee.
Wow, some people really love their coffee. But you'll experience much more to love than just the coffee at Mocha Joe's. The perfect spot for family and friends to relax with casual dining or enjoy the pastries and gourmet coffee shop at 3633 Cortez Road, West Bradenton. It will be love at first bite 7 days a week at Mocha Joe's. Thursday is prime rib night, Friday all-you-can-eat fish, and don't forget the world-famous $4.99 Saturday burger night. Vegetarian? On a gluten-free diet? You won't be left out at Mocha Joe's. There's something for everybody at Mocha Joe's. 3633 Cortez Road West. Don't believe me? Then call them up and ask for yourself at 941-753-7255. 7094. Open Sunday to Wednesday for breakfast and lunch. Thursday to Saturday for breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
40 cups of coffee waiting for you to come home.
Well, it was on the way out yesterday in Japan. That's when Japanese cryptocurrency exchange CoinCheck, one of the largest in Japan, was the victim of a massive hack resulting in a loss of $523 million in NEM coins, worth approximately $534 million. Well, I wonder who proofread that sentence at the... That's why you should never read, Augie. The coins are stolen via several unauthorized transactions from a hot wallet at 3 a.m. local time on Friday the 26th. Following the hack, CoinCheck Exchange has hosted a press conference to provide the details of what happened and what's coming next. Now, this was... Let me continue before I jump back into that. According to the exchange's representatives, the hacker... See, I'm getting this cultural imagery of Japan, and I don't mean to stereotype, but I guess it's from old World War II movies when the Japanese officer failed,
yes,
and what they were supposed to do to make amends for their failure. And I wonder how this stacks up in losing a battleship versus... Yeah, all this money.
Well, I'm wondering how you do a movie on this. I mean, you bring in Jet Li and Jackie Chan
to reclaim the coins,
or do you bring in Jason Statham?
Oh, you are onto something.
I mean,
sort of Matrix-like. They go into the computer,
and
physically grab those coins.
I'm loving it. Robert De Niro, Jason Statham with Jackie Chan and Jet Li. Yeah,
microphone.
It'll be like
Russian heat shields, right?
That's right. Matrix on steroids here. I mean, it'll make the Matrix look like Disney.
NEM, by the way, does television commercials in Japan. Japan has legalized and regulated the cryptocurrency market, although they are in the process of licensing exchanges, and CoinCheck had not been licensed yet, as well as many of the other ones. And I don't know if that's ever going to happen now. According to the exchange's representative, the hackers managed to steal the private key for the hot wallet, where the NEM, did you just say NEM?
NEM, New Economy Movement, which is the most popular coin over there in Japan, by the way.
Were stored, enabling them to drain the funds. All the stolen money belonged to the customers of the exchange. The inappropriate movement of the funds, that's in quote, and it was an inappropriate movement.
Yeah,
it wasn't
that.
Necessarily a
theft. Maybe they're at the after party at the Bitcoin conference.
Yes, there's a lot of inappropriate movements carried on there. It was reported by CoinCheck to Japan's financial service agencies as well as the police later on the same day. That's a 24-hour period.
Oh, God.
Shortly after the breach, the company halted all withdrawals from the site, hoping to stop any further damage to its funds. Asked whether they will be allowing, quote, at least fiat currency withdrawal soon, CoinCheck replied that will be done after they have determined the best way to proceed.
Yeah, with, how to get some funding there.
Yeah. It has come to light that the funds were being stored on a simple hot wallet rather than a much more secure multi-sig wallet.
It was like one of those dongles. The guy just plugs it in, you know. Oops.
CoinCheck's representative claimed that the security setup differs with various coins on the exchange. Other cryptocurrencies on the site are currently stored in multi-sig wallets, but the NEM is not. When pressed, the company insisted that security standards were not low. That's in quotes also. However, the lack of multi-sig protection for NEM may indicate the opposite. According to their statement, more than half of CoinCheck's 80 permanent employees work on systems development, including security. Well, that makes me feel secure.
Yeah, it does, me too.
What comes next? CoinCheck claimed that it knows the addresses where the stolen NEM is currently being stored by hackers, is hoping to be able to track the culprits. While the company did not currently disclose how many users were affected, they have expressed a desire to refund all the money.
That's great.
When asked whether they are going, this is like a Saturday night parody.
It's unbelievable.
When they're going to resume operations, we'll have to declare bankruptcy. CoinCheck said that, quote, in principle, they plan to keep operating.
Oh, my God.
While the exchange has expressed its desire to refund all the lost funds, nevertheless, they are still considering how to approach the situation. Per the press conference, the worst-case scenario would be that the funds can never be returned.
I mean, how do you do that?
I regret.
How do you do that? I mean, you know, you rely on somebody to be securing your stuff, and it all disappears, and they're just up. You're just out of luck. I mean, is that how it works? I mean,
that's how it's going to work over there. I'm
pretty
sure.
I mean, I'd be a little.
Of course, it won't happen here, right?
Well, and the major exchanges are supposedly being audited, and with Lloyd's of London involved, you would expect that they follow through on this.
Yeah.
We'll speak to that in a moment. But, Alex, you know, talk about the idea that the other currencies were kept in cold storage offline. So that would be, for as an individual, that would be like a hardware wallet for an individual, correct?
The exchanges, they in my opinion, they're everything's offline.
I don't mean to have, you know, like the latest Trezor wallet or something like that. But, I mean, when you use your hardware wallet, your funds are offline, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. So you would think that a multi-billion-dollar exchange might follow that same safety precaution.
Yeah. But I think what the exchanges are doing, they're putting. Let's say you buy the NEM coin off them, and you keep on the exchange. Your coins are with everyone in one just big wallet.
Which, you know, which really confuses me, because here you go. You have Coinbase on one hand that holds a certain percentage in their on their hot wallet, I guess, so to speak, or, you know, you would think that the exchanges
would... Coinbase says, according to a different article that I pulled for today's show, that 98% of its digital currency holdings are offline, which could really explain the times that it goes down trying to move currency when the volume goes high. But 98% sounds extremely high quote.
Yeah, you know, I mean, to have 90% of it offline, because most of the traders that are trading on there really aren't trading the coin directly. You're paper trading. It's just like stocks. If you're day trading, you never hold the paper. You're just paper trading. And I think that's what the exchanges should be doing. I'm mind boggled that these people are supposed to be tech savvy and they allow
500 million.
500 million. 500 million, that's a lot of yen. I mean, that's a couple...
Almost sounds like a deliberate mistake.
You know what? There's had to be some inside stuff going on there.
But I just want to say one thing. If you notice all the hacks, they're on crappy exchanges. They're on the worst exchanges.
Well, this was not a crappy exchange.
Yeah.
I've never even heard of it.
Hey, it's one of the largest ones over in Japan.
I traded in Japan.
You traded in Japan on what?
Binance.
Binance, you know.
I trade in Asia, Huobi Exchange. I don't use CoinEx because it's not good.
Yeah, well,
CoinEx is bad too.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think
bad exchanges.
And this should just be a signal to anybody out there that's trading these exchanges. You only keep enough on the exchange that you are willing to lose.
Yeah, that's rule number one.
And the rest of it needs to be offline in a secured wallet, like you would do anything else. You print it out, you laminate it, and you put it in the safety deposit box.
Yep.
This follows a hack in December of South Korean UBIT lost 17% of its digital assets, and its parent company filed for bankruptcy. And, of course, the highest-profile case was Tokyo-based Mt. Gox bankruptcy in 2014. This amount is actually exceeds Mt. Gox, but it didn't shake up the market. We have and Alex, you need to get Augie set up on WhatsApp so he can be participating in what he's missing the last week and a half. So not this second, but
who's your iPhone?
You know, I posted this story when I saw it. Most of the people in the group were not too worried about it. I wasn't worried so much as I was like, we were finally starting to get a consolidation and comeback in the market, and we get another one of these weekly stories that just causes us to tread water for another week. But actually, the market has come back pretty much to where it was before the story broke. So at least the time of recovery is a little bit less.
Well, I think that shows you how strong the market is, that, you know, a lot of people think that the news affects the market, and the news doesn't affect the market as much as market sentiment does, and you would think something like this would really be crushing. And I'll let you get on, Henry. I know you want to get me off
the air. Yeah, we want to get to the coin of the week, and I do want to play one thing that's relevant, though. This is from Davos. We didn't have as much time to get into the World Economic Forum as I was talking about, but at the opposite end of the scale from the North American Bitcoin Conference, where the world was rosy, everything's going to be wonderful, was the gloom and doom of Davos. This is IMF head Christine Lagarde and our Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin discussing in a cryptocurrency panel. So it is a major topic there.
My number one focus on cryptocurrencies, and whether that be digital currencies or Bitcoin or other things, is that we want to make sure they're not used for illicit activities. So in the United States, our regulations, if you're a Bitcoin wallet, you're subject to the same regulations as a bank.
I totally agree with what Stephen was saying about the fact that the anonymity, the lack of transparency, and the way in which it conceals and protects money laundering, financing of terrorism, and all sorts of dark trades is just unacceptable.
BlackRock CEO Larry Fink joined the discussion, which was moderated by CNBC, calling cryptocurrencies an index of money laundering. But despite the risks, Fink said cryptocurrencies is a real technology that should not be dismissed. And guys, that was the big takeaway of these major names in finance are no longer ignoring the rise in cryptocurrencies. Instead, they're focused on the regulatory component, but again, no concrete ideas on how this will be done.
And a follow-up article said that at the G20 summit in Buenos Aires in March, there will be much talk about regulating the cryptocurrency market.
Well, you know, what's funny is they talk about, you know, transparency and all this stuff. There's nothing more transparent than Bitcoin. You know where that money went. You know what wallets it went in. There is no anonymity to it at all. Yet, we can transfer billions and billions of dollars in our government, and it just disappears into the vagueness of the world. And we actually talked to somebody about Crown Crypto, and they were talking about the transparency. What I want to challenge Steve Mnuchin, and I love the administration, but he's a Goldman Sachs guy, is go open up a damn crypto account and see how regulated this market is. I mean, just see how regulated it is.
One thing that we don't have time to delve into, but when Leonard or Lee are back with us, the implementation of the Lightning Network will probably not be picked up by Coinbase and these other big exchanges because you can't know your customer in that. So there is a movement for secrecy and anonymity in all this.
Thank God you can't have dollar bills.
We want to get to Alex's coin of the week while we get our guest on the line. So, Alex, tell us what you have. Andy, if you have any questions, or any questions, jump in.
All right, the coin of the week I have is Theta Token. This, to me, is the best gaming token there is. It's not like you don't play video games with this, but you can bet on games. It's a video streaming token. It's backed by Sony, Samsung, one of the few big names, even YouTube. The owner of YouTube backs it. He even he's quoted on the website backing it. And it came out February 16th. And it started at 16 cents. January 16th. And then it floated around from 16 cents to 30 cents. I would say it's a good time to buy at 26 cents now.
But you don't get financial advice.
I don't get no financial advice at all. I just tell you what I do and my opinion on everything.
There you go.
No financial advisory here. I'm a crypto advisor.
No question for you on that. Is that you're talking gaming? Are they going after the markets? I'm thinking of Atari. That's how old I am. But the Xbox and stuff like that for people network together.
Atari.
I know. Yeah. I'm thinking, hey, I'm going to play Pac-Man for Space Invaders.
All the gamers, if they're out there listening, they know about Sliver TV already. The owners of Sliver TV literally created this coin, which is huge. There's nothing really bigger than that. Like you watch video games, you bet on them. It's kind of like Unicorn, but this is better. This is not backed by a celebrity or anybody, and this is backed by real people. And obviously the co-founder of YouTube, he's got to know something.
Yeah, because we know celebrities are fake. We see that all the time.
Yeah.
What's the symbol?
It's T-H-E-T-A. I recommend buying on the Huobi exchange. It's a Huobi.pro. That's one of the best exchanges ever. You won't have to worry about a $500 million hack.
Because they only got $200 million in assets.
No.
Okay, what's it trading at?
It's trading at 26 cents right now.
All right. And where was it trading a week ago, a month ago?
I got it about, it was 16 cents. I got in at 22 cents, around 20, 22 cents, thank goodness.
And when was that?
Like a week ago.
Wait a minute.
I told all my friends to buy it.
22 cents, and it's trading at 16 cents, and thank goodness?
No, 26 cents.
Oh, okay.
It was at 30 cents yesterday, 31 last night.
Okay.
Oh, you missed the top. All right, well, we'll catch up on the coin of the week in the weeks to come and find out how Alex is doing with his purchases, as he is fully transparent and discloses everything one way or another. We'll come back to that in just a moment.